Please pull up a seat and wind down. With your sojourn on Rokinshima a pleasant one, the Witch of Truth has invited you to a tea party. We hope you choose to attend.
Hello and welcome to a hidden tea party. My name is Courtney. I'm the Witch of Video Games, pronouns she, her, and we have a very special guest once again this week.
Hey yo, it's Mike. I have returned once again because I love talking about stuff that I kind of like. Pronouns are he, they. The Witch is spectating, and before I'm going to say it, Erica Fruto is the Witch of the Baby Girl.
I fucking love Erica.
I am going to throw hands.
I need to immediately eliminate baby girl from my vocabulary.
We are taking this out of your vocabulary. Why are you calling this 17-year-old baby girl?
Oh shit! Oh no, wait. I meant just because she's awesome. I'm sorry.
She does rule. I'm sorry, girls. I'm signing the mic here.
Erica rules, Batwards rules. He could never.
My fists are making the reloading noise. I am very prepared to throw
the
hands
fight,
right now.
The fight response is really out.
Come on.
I can't believe this. Thrown down over the best fictional character ever written. I still stand by this, by the way. Erica Fruto, best fictional character ever written.
I enjoy Erica Fruto. I would not go so far as to call her baby girl, but there we go. obviously, the best fictional character ever written is Benoit Blanc. That's what
I
was saying.
Benoit Blanc is a very good shout there.
That's the podcast we should relevant. Be doing. Anyway.
Knives Out Pod. Honestly, why couldn't you have done a
Knives Out Pod, Courtney? It's so much shorter. Because
it's so much shorter.
We can do a special episode sometime.
We debated about doing a special Knives Out episode, which would be great because it's ironically one of my favorite films.
I guessed the solution to Knives Out pretty much like as soon as the murder happened.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it. I'm not gonna say shit.
Yeah,
I love our listeners, and you should watch them. They're great films, but I guess it like pretty much straight away, which I think is damning evidence for any other murder mystery in my life.
You can't roast Ryukishi like this.
That's literally my job. That's why you have me here.
Anyway, you guys introduce yourselves.
To do that. Who else?
No one knows who you are. Introduce yourselves. We're on episode like 28.
Yeah, who the fuck are we? Hi, my name's Jess. My pronouns are they, them. I'm about to be a referee in a fight, apparently.
Yeah, we do need a neutral observer, question mark.
I get one hit in, and I go, and die like in Kingdom Hearts.
I'm going to be like Donald Duck in Kingdom Hearts and kill myself.
Moving forwards. So we read more of Umineko. Echo. We read a single chapter.
Rowan, did you introduce yourself?
I don't remember.
Bitches know who I am.
We can't break tradition now, Rowan.
If you don't know who I am, check the description, look at my fucking Twitter, and follow me.
So, this is already the most chaotic episode of the pod we have ever recorded, and we are 4 minutes in. Yeah. So good job, guys.
Hell yeah.
Editing this is going to be so much fun. We read one chapter this week. It's one of the longer chapters, and also I thought we might have quite a lot to discuss, so that's why. This is chapter 15, Logic Error. What could happen in this chapter? Let's find out. I remember when, like, I saw the chapter name for this, when I was reading, I was like, oh no, not good news for Battler. literally the last chapter ends with, Battler, hope you don't cause a logic error, and then it's like, chapter 15, Battler commits a logic error.
I thought it might be baiting. I thought it might be like, is there a logic error? Maybe.
Nah.
The thing I love about logic error is Ryugashi is like, my work is flawless unless I point out that there may be an error. Like, it ain't flawless,
Thank
bro.
You. Thank
That's what
you.
I'm saying. Listen, Ryukishi slander, I'm here for it. And Higurashi slander.
Ryukishi's like, I hope you don't find a logic error in what I've done.
Yeah, it is very much like Beatrice. It does validate that there aren't any logic errors in the other mysteries because this didn't happen to Beatrice. So
that we know of. I mean, that we're
within. Within the like confines of Ryukishi's own flaws as a human, right? like he's like, no, there are no flaws in the rest of the work. Like, this flaw is here because I put it here on purpose. There are no other ones. Don't look.
Logical.
Reread
flaws.
My stories.
He Maybe didn't say anything
one.
About other flaws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, whatever. I'm glad I am not alone in thinking that this is a bad thing to be lampshading.
So, we start out with a nice Erica spider comparison, as always.
I love
she
it.
Crawls her way into the mansion.
Yeah, she clung to the guest room door like a spider, it says. She really is like a fucking creature, isn't she?
I love the creature Erica. It's one of my, if any of you have read the manga, one of my favorite panels is Erica, like, on the outside of the walls of the guest house, like, sealing the windows, and she looks like a disgusting, like, insect creature. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. I was imagining I'm reading the manga her, like, wall running, like, in Titanfall.
She's trying to speed run this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, bestie.
Erica Furuto, episode 6, any percent speed run.
Yeah. Erica's literally like, I don't want to actually have to engage in this mystery. I'm just here to catch Battler out.
Yeah, so she like fucking sprints to the guest room.
Yeah, and she confirms that her seals are intact. So,
because Battler's got to decide what to fucking do now.
Yes. Yeah. There's a whole like dramatic reveal where it's like, what's inside the room, and it's dark, and she's like, you can change your mind now. What are you gonna do? And Beato's like, don't play that card, it's irreversible. Other me never played it. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, shut up. Let my man live.
Yeah. Battler is kind of regretting this whole duct tape thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
They handled it real bad.
And they bring in the Jess of the episode, Lambda Delta, as an impartial observer.
Oh no! I've aligned myself with Lambda Delta!
We have Rowan as Birdcastle. Courtney can be Erica.
Obviously. Yes.
Yeah, obviously.
Does that mean Rowan bullies me constantly? Yeah, actually, that
is... No, it's true.
It's full
circle. Only for reasons you deserve it.
It's funny, we have a bit of a clash of the metaphors between Lambda Delta and Battler. Lambda Delta's like, you guys are playing poker, and Battler's like, I thought we were playing chess.
Yes, this is cute.
Yeah, because she keeps being like, she's basically being brought in as a referee to make sure that he's not committing logic errors, and she keeps being like, oh yeah, I'll just have a look at your cards. He's like, I thought we were playing chess. Mm-hmm. No one knows what's going on.
I want to use this moment to highlight all of the really dramatic right chess piece writing that happens in this chapter.
Yeah,
I was fully prepared for somebody to like.
You were really
shove it up someone's hole.
I was just like, in a second, someone's gonna swallow. Like, come on,
that is not how you play chess, Rowan.
It's funny because
Lambda Delta's like, wait, are you hoping for like to draw a good card? If you're playing chess, if you rely on luck, you die. And it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, Battler. because Battler's basically revealed the fact that like he doesn't have another plan. He's just gonna like call Erica's bluff and be like, yeah, no, totally, like, Battler, like, the door's still sealed and stuff, but I have to work out how Battler's gonna get out, and I just totally don't know how I'm gonna do that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just like, okay.
Bless. Listen to last episode for all Jess and my theories as to how exactly you could get out of this problem. Any of these would work at this moment in time.
Yeah.
So, Erica turns on the light, and Battler confirms in red that his body is not on the bed.
Uh-oh.
So Erica does some looking around. We get confirmation that there are no hidden passages, so she can find him if he's here. And then, so Erica looks everywhere in the bedroom except for one place, which she doesn't name for now.
It's real mysterious.
Yeah, where could it be? And Erica checks the bathroom and gets hosed.
She does get hosed.
Yeah.
It didn't give her permanent burn marks, unfortunately.
Yeah. Basically, the shower has been, like, manipulated with wires to be stuck on, and like full pressure boiling hot water just at the door.
So she has to she gets a blanket and has to like go in, and like there's some wire cutters in the bath, and she's like hiking all these wires trying to get the shower to turn off, and all this boiling water's going on her.
I can't believe it, because she stole from Zero Escape there. Seek a way out.
Yeah. she's just the first escape room of the escape room puzzle of the
this really is like a Zero Escape escape room puzzle. I didn't think of it like that.
She used wire cutters on wire. If only all Zero Escape game puzzles were as easy to solve as this one.
Incredible.
Oh yes, please. I look them up, honestly. I'm here for the story. I don't care about the puzzles that much.
So Erica uses the little water trap when she disables it as proof that Battler is alive.
Yeah, because that wasn't there when she went to the room to find his body the first time.
Yeah, so the only explanation for that is that Battler was alive.
I think this is very silly of Erica, because clearly a witch could have done it.
That's what I'm saying.
Hello? Does she know what book she's in? Come on.
It was just Beatrice. I don't think she wrote Umineko.
No.
Eric is like, apart from one exception, Battler does not exist. And then she says, he does exist in a coffin.
I
was
read this
expecting there to be an actual coffin inside
the
room.
I read this literally because she was like, the one place that I haven't checked is Battler's coffin. I was like, why the fuck is there a coffin in this room? And then it turns out she was just talking about the closet again.
Yeah, the closet. That's Mickey's favorite closet.
Battler's
he's also in there.
Battler's following in his aunt's footsteps. Getting in that closet.
They're in the same closet together, like, first time.
They're vibing.
Are there any other members of the family in here? The entire Usharimir family behind them, like.
Gota's like, where'd everyone go?
Okay, headcanon, Goda is the only straight person on this island. The lone heterosexual.
It makes almost too much sense. Battler says that in red, definitively, that Battler does not exist in the guest room. There are no exceptions, including the closet.
Yes.
So.
The best.
And Ange is immediately like, oh, okay, so you hid in the closet, and then when Erica went to check the bathroom, he slipped out.
Yeah, because it was quite a nice distraction, wasn't it? And like, that's what I assumed it was when it first happened. I was like, oh, this is a cover for him to leave.
And then
Erica fucking pulls another one.
Yeah, she's like, oh, sorry, forgot to mention, when I came into the room, I reset the chain. Battler's like, the chain got cut. And Birdcastle goes, no, she repaired it with the tape.
Because you can totally normally repair a chain lock with a bit of duct tape, and that works.
Absolutely fine. So this is an interesting thing that I wanted to call up, because at the beginning of this fight they have a conversation which is like everything happens simultaneously, so you can go back and like revise things. So but then Erica's playing this as like, well, actually I forgot to tell you, and I'm trying to figure out what's real. Is it like we can go back and revise anything that we want in this moment? Or is it like, actually, these things are technically happening sequentially, and Erica's just like,
I didn't,
oh.
I didn't really understand the whole game board is paused, everything happens at once thing, because clearly then Erica on the game board opens the door and the shower goes off, and I was like, well, that's clearly happening in linear time, so yeah. It's not all paused then, is it? So I'm not sure what they were doing with that, really.
Any explanations from the witch side here, or are we just gonna...
Magic.
Magic did it.
It was magic. Erica, the Witch of Truth, just did some little magic.
Honestly, the moment Battle was like, I'm gonna retroactively give you this, like, why? Like, come
linear
on,
time stopped existing, I think, at this point.
Yeah, like there's a reason Beatrice did not let Battle retroactively do things.
Yeah.
Because then he set a bad precedent.
Yeah, if I was Battle, I would also be retroactively like, nah, you don't get this anymore. I gave you this under good faith. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yeah, he should have realized that he'd done a dangerous thing and just tried to undo it as much as possible.
Yeah.
But no, he sticks to his guns and
he could have retroactively said that when whoever it was broke through the chain lock, they took the chain away with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or that it was unrepairable. There were many ways to get around this.
Yeah.
So, the problem then Battle runs into is he has to answer about what happened to the chain lock.
Yeah.
Yes. If it's still intact, that would be great, but then he has to come up with a way it could still be intact.
Yeah,
because... if it isn't intact, he basically loses, because at that point Erica can just use Battler as an explanation.
We can be like, oh, Battler just left the room and he's alive, yeah, and that's not magic anymore.
Yeah.
He needs to find a way that Battler conceivably could leave the room with the chain lock still on.
Honestly, if I was in Battler's position at this point in time, I would have had Battler reappear on the body. On the bed, dead after Erica leaves the bathroom.
Interesting. Yeah. Who would have killed him?
Doesn't matter, does it?
Himself.
Well,
that's what I originally thought was going to happen, you know, when he gave the red truth, Battler no longer exists in this room. I was like, well, clearly Battler was alive at some point, but, like, what if he no longer exists in this room now means he's now dead in this room?
We've talked about Battler inheriting the name Kinzo before. He could just be like, yeah, no, Kinzo exists in this room, not Battler anymore.
Yeah. And Erica doesn't have objecto vision, so, like, you know.
Battler decides in the moment that Erica is being squirted with the shower. I shouldn't have phrased it like that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, why? What did Erica do this? Never mind. No, feel free to go in on Erica.
Yeah, I didn't even do the, like, cordoning off a moment for us to recognize that they use the phrase intellectual rapist again. I was just going to let that one slide, but...
We've been through that.
Is this part of the Rowan Umineko drinking game?
Bingo.
I just feel like it's important to note every time it appears, because it's such a contentious phrase. The fact that they're using it again and again and again is, like, important to note regardless of your opinions.
I will say in the manga, she does not say, I don't want to say it, she doesn't say it, she only says it when she first gets introduced, but other than that, they don't really say it much, so points to the manga.
The manga authors are like, we don't like this.
We don't like it.
The manga is shorter.
It's still pretty thick.
It's shorter, it appears to be better written, and also I don't have to look at a computer screen while I'm doing it, which are things that I'm very pro.
I actually have the manga over here. I can get it real fast. For all the audio listeners, I'm pulling out a giant book. This will take a second.
Holy shit.
Umineko manga on tap.
Oh, that's true.
See, so oh my god,
I almost died. Sorry. So, Mike just dies ASMR.
And yet another victim. Another victim of Umineko.
This is volume one of Banquet.
Jesus Christ.
And holy, it's only shit, two volumes. This is now $500 if you want to buy it, because they didn't. Ooh. No, because they short printed
it. They don't print them. Like,
and
they're
so
out of print.
Upsetting. Very nice art. The manga's cool. I don't know how to put this book.
The manga is cool.
It should be a manga podcast. Kidding.
It's fine. We will be reading some of the manga at some point.
Yeah,
the manga will be read at some point.
Yeah, because Courtney's like, we can't just read the 1 million page, the 1 million word fucking game.
We gotta read the 5,000 page manga.
We've gotta read the last. Rowan looks like they've just died.
Read all the manga, don't worry, Rowan. You can do that in your own time.
Need more haters when they're like, you don't have love for the story because you didn't read the manga. It's like, leave us alone.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people
haven't read the manga, so it's fine. We're gonna watch the anime though, obviously. Everyone loves the anime.
When I first watched it I was like, this good. Now I'm like, I mean, I still enjoy it because I don't know, I like seeing adaptations of stuff, like from books, to see like how does it actually look, like they're like in a room, but how does this look in a room? That
With the anime is it's like the most boring adaptation they could have
possibly. Oh my god, yes. And then they're like cutting stuff as they're writing it. So it's like you cut out important stuff that is essential later. Studio Dean is a horrible adaptation studio company. They also adapted Higurashi. That's a different story. I just don't like Studio Dean. So if you're listening, Studio Dean, I'm sorry, but you should try better.
I'm so excited that in the anime we'll get to fucking relive only the most boring bits of Lumen Echo.
I mean, I do like how in the anime they have the red truth like swirling all around the place, and it's like, okay.
That's pretty cool.
That's fancy. And then blue truth gets introduced so late in the anime, it's like, oh yeah, blue truth. Well, who cares?
I do think a lot of the stuff that's happened in like the second half of Umineko Echo is the like incredible anime sword fights and stuff that should have been animated.
Yes.
And a lot of the like George and Shannon date, I'm like, come on. Ew. Come on.
So I will say, out of context, Higurashi spoiler, in the last season of Sotsu, which I hate, long story, there's like a Dragon Ball Z fight. But it doesn't make up for the shitty shitty story. I hate Sotsu. We could do a whole episode about that. Let's not watch Sotsu.
let's stick to him and Echo for now.
Yes, please. Yeah.
For now.
Back to the VN.
Battle is like, I have a fantastic plan.
Battle is like, okay, what do I do? And he's like, I'm gonna go for the biggest possible payout. And I'm like, this is only gonna end well. And Lambda literally goes, there's one difference between heroes and madmen, it's whether they win or lose.
So he's like, the chain lock is intact. And we're all like,
we did it! You won Umineko!
Immediately files for a logic error.
Yeah.
The moment it's like, Judge, logic error. He's cheating.
Yeah, they really like fake this bit out in the thing because it's like cutting back and forth between everyone and they're like, oh my god, and they've all got their like sweaty emotes or whatever, and I'm like, come on, just holding the control button down. Come on, gang.
they really want the suspense for this, don't they?
Yeah, and it's just not working for me. Sorry.
And then Lamba goes, "It's valid," and we're like, and then it's like, "Oh, we did it! We won Umineko. Play the song. Roll credits."
And I'm like, okay, so window. Erica hasn't checked the window.
The window.
She has sealed it all though with the duct tape.
My thing was like the chain lock could be present, and Erica goes over to the window and the window's broken, and it's like, oh, got you there.
Batwer yeeted himself out the window like in Cinderella 3.
Yeah. It's like, it's all like optics, you know? My other thing is like, reference. You could reset the lock the same way you did the other locks in theory. Like, Erica's presented you a way that could work.
Yeah, is this on the second or first floor that guest this room?
I'm not sure whether we're even told.
My guy survived a third story jump. I'm not concerned about
that's
that.
That's true.
See, I wish Ryukishi, like Tolkien, gave us a map or layout of this building.
I don't know. A map for this.
Can we get a map? Some fan out there is like, actually, I made the map. And I'm like, you have too much time on your hands, bro. I appreciate it.
Someone has definitely made Rokkenjima on Minecraft. It's definitely happened.
Fully. Where's our Umineko Minecraft crossover podcast episode?
Yes. I love this in the sense that, so like, Lambda's like, oh my god, it's valid. And she's like, Battler, you're incredible.
So
you're really good. And then literally everybody does a round of applause. And it reads like one of those fucking Tumblr posts where it's like a clear line.
Everybody
and it's like,
clapped.
And everybody clapped.
It's Evangelion. They go, congratulations. And then even Angie's like, oh, Nichon, you are the smart one. And then someone else can say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm getting hype. I'm sorry. This moment makes me feel things.
There's the like wedding music playing in the background. I'm like, come on.
I don't like the fact that Lambda gives Battler a compliment. It's grim. Hate that.
She's like, you're better than Burn.
Here are my theories for how we could get out of this situation.
A gun.
to be honest, Battler turns around and kills Erica is a legitimate way, I think. to get around this.
I mean,
take
she's
her
not
piece
a detective.
Off, take her piece off the game board, stop her from investigating. Perfect. But I've said one way to Battler to get out, he's a really good contortionist, and he managed to slip through the gap between the floorboards.
Yeah.
Seems legit.
Skinny legend.
I did also say, no, but seriously, because, like, I know the seals, they confirmed when Erica came into the room that all of the seals were still good. Mm-hmm. But then they've only talked about the chain. So I'm like, at this point, he can climb out of the window. And if she doesn't recheck the seals, that would be valid, I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether, like, I know it's there was a red truth that she resealed the room, and I don't know whether, like, that technically includes the windows, even though they didn't mention the windows.
I mean, the way they frame it is that, like, Dillinor's, like, guarding the room, so I assume Dillinor would have said something.
Yeah, it's a weird one, because, like, Dillinor's not actually on the game board, but, like, kind of is, but isn't.
She's, like, the metaphor for the seals.
She's in the crewmate chat or something, and...
Not this.
You shouldn't have created such a good metaphor if you didn't want us to use it.
Eric is kind of sus, guys.
I hate what I
have created. This is just a Amogus. Mm-hmm. And in this, Battler's trying to fucking hack the game files to make it so that...
So basically, Battler explains how he did it. He's like, oh, well, Erica was fucking around in the bathroom, Battler slipped out the closet, and he got someone else to take his place. So he said that it's Kyrie, because there's been no red that the victims of the first Twilight were actually dead.
Yeah.
So Kyrie came to save him, and...
reset the
just
chain.
Just as we're about to settle in... Yeah. Just as we're about to settle in on this theory, we get Red Truth from Dillinor. Ushiro Miyakirie could not save Battler.
Oh yeah. Oh. I love this part. This is like the peak of Umineko. Don't at me. I love this part. Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah, okay. So this chapter is genuinely for like especially from this point really fucking good.
I hate it. People who tune in to hear us dunk on Umineko, but it's just going to be Rowan this week.
I'm not to like roast you and like ruin your bit, Rowan, but the fact that you were like, before we started recording, you were like, I actually quite like this, but now I'm going to have to pretend I hated it because you all liked it so much.
Well, we have to have balance somehow.
Do we? Can we not just admit it's good?
I love it.
We need balance to forge kingdom hearts of the Uminekos. Form the golden land. We need equal light and darkness.
I promised my fans one thing, and it's that I will always be an Umineko hater. I cannot back down now, even though this was like fun to read. I still have to say this is bad. That's all. The kayfabe must be maintained. You've had your fake out. You've had reasonable Rowan hours. You've made me
reasonable Rowan hours.
Shit.
Literally lasted about 10 minutes.
So
make me read a shorter book next time. Maybe I shall be merciful.
Lambda's like, why can you use the red truth, Dilanor? And Burncastle is fully like, no, it's fine.
Use someone else. It's fine. There's four other victims that also haven't been pronounced dead in red. And I'm just like, okay.
What about Natsui? She did that last episode. She'd be right home. And they're like, not her either. And no. I'm just like, bro, what is going on? What do you mean? They can totally do that.
Yeah, so Dilanor says that no one can save that.
Yeah,
basically.
Ava, nope. Rosa, no. Maria, no.
We need a Tumblr/Twitter said, Red Truths that hit hard, and this is one of them.
Yes.
Like, out of context, they hit so hard. I'm like, oh my god, really Batwoman, why you
That's
doing this to
favorite,
yourself?
Some of my favorite Red Truths in the series. Eric is like, so turns out there was a reason I didn't want to touch the authority, and now I can't even claim it anymore.
And we're like, and I was like, what?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Without the detective's authority, I can't tell whether these victims are dead or simply faking it. So I needed a way to be sure. I visited all the crime scenes, and I re-killed all of them. Oh, and one more thing. Every person I re-killed was very much alive until the moment I killed them. Oh, how heartwarming to watch them so faithfully play dead, just as I was about to slice their heads off.
Flashback to 2014, I was a small infant child person creature, and I'm reading this, and I'm like, holy shit! I was like, oh my god, they just, Erica, you fucking crazy woman, you went and
this
murdered people?
I'm
losing my, listen,
I still,
I'm freaking out.
I still, this day, think about this moment. I love it so much.
I did. Oh, I do have a bullet point here. When I realized, I realized probably about 0.5 of a second before they told me what was going on. And I just wrote, bullet point just says, OMG.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. And then I love the red trooper. She's like, I can confirm they are very much dead. I'm like, you ain't gotta, oh my god.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So...
Yeah, she was like, well, I can't say in red that they're dead because I don't know. So I'll just fucking kill them to make
their
sure.
Head off. And then
she was like, when I decapitated them afterwards just to make, like, doubly sure. I was like,
yeah.
And Erica goes, and Maria was so good at playing dead. Like, she didn't even know I was, like, killing her mom. I'm like, oh my... Erica, what's with your beef with this 9-year-old? Don't be mean to her.
This is why
I'm like, Ryukishi can't write murder mystery, but he can write horror and suspense. Because I was like, this was effectively written. It is shit murder mystery writing. As it clearly says itself. I'm like,
to be fair,
this is
the main...
Well written.
The main mystery, Higurashi, is kind of... It's more of the destination, not the journey, but, like, the main mystery, like, the big thing is kind of, you can predict it easy. I don't know. Maybe because I have, like, I know what happened.
I mean,
it's okay.
My thing with Umineko is, I'd say the first half is more murder mystery, and then the second half is whatever
this anime, is. Shonen, seinen battles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're
I
kind
think
of
this
out
was,
of murder
this
mystery
was,
territory.
This was a really good twist, and I really like the concept of a... I know she isn't the detective, but she's playing a detective style character still in this episode. But the concept of like a detective character who is so like so committed to being correct that she's willing to kill 6 people.
And she even says, like, oh, well, and all the evidence is in the guest room, but it doesn't matter. We're not reaching that point where you guys find out. Everyone's sealed. And then the whole, the acting for Erica. When she's all like, wait, 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 I'm like, listen, this is annoying my ears, but my god, it's so good.
She calls him Battler Schwan. I'm like,
Yeah, she goes a bit
ooh. She just goes into ooh-woo speak.
Very good.
She's like, chop, twitch.
She's just losing it so much. Her speech is going insane. Before we go into all that with Erica, we do get Battler, like, we get basically what the story of the game was, which is that the basically everyone was faking to, like, prank Erica because, like, they were all so annoyed at her after the cheese puzzle.
Yeah, they were so annoyed about the cheese puzzle that they thought that faking the deaths of 6 people to basically mock her, I guess? I don't really know exactly
I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was really cute.
It is cute.
I was like, oh, they're like, you love playing detective so much, we're going to set up a little murder mystery.
It depends, because it depends if you read this as they're doing it for her amusement or they're doing it to, like, mock her. Because I think you can read it either way, and I'm not sure which way they went, but the fact that they went so far with it is still quite funny either way.
I was going to say one thing I love, too, is that since this is Battler as the Game Master, it also shows that even though he is the Game Master and could kill his family, he's like, uh-uh. I'll kill myself. What if we all pretended? And I love it too, because in the earlier thing, Erica's like, ha ha, I got them suspecting each other. And then their head reels like, this bitch stupid, man, whatever. Sure, I guess Gota did it.
Yeah, so I've got like three things I've written down here. The first and foremost is something I've spoken to Courtney about briefly, where it's like, of course Battler was going to get caught out here because of course Battler doesn't want
to kill his
family.
And of
course he's going to make himself the culprit because he's not going to frame his family. Of course he's going to get caught out like this. What I said to Courtney is, if Battler's Game Master a second time, he should just do this again. Not the exact same game board, but he should just have it all be faked out. Because I don't think Erica and... I think it would be nice theme for it to be like, actually, the compassionate option is still wins.
The best one. Yeah.
And I would like that.
I think one thing they could do is go by code names. So it's like, all right, you're Rosa, but when you're dead, you're A. So they can do the whole retrieve of Rosa's dead, but actually she's using a different name thing. So it's like,
oh my god.
They could do that.
It works.
It's like,
I mean, if Erica's gonna power game, you might as well.
Yeah, like, Rose is dead, but her alter ego, Hawkeye, is.
Her alter ego, Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner. We got the nobody of Rosa, who is not dead.
Hold on. Roxas. Sorak! Rosa is a, anagram of Sora.
I'm telling you, Rosa Ustromia is Roxas, who is Jesse McCartney from the hit game Kingdom Hearts 2. It's all coming together. I was telling you.
I can't believe Rosa was voiced by Jesse McCartney the whole time.
Okay.
So this will be the next fan fiction episode of the podcast, yeah?
Other things I've got written down. Why would Rudolph say that shit? Because if he knows that they're playing a prank, why would he do his, like, I never got to tell them the truth aside? Like,
he's really committed to
this
it.
This makes
method
no
acting.
Sense.
Method acting.
Absolutely no sense. Secondly, when Battler says everyone, that now also doesn't include any of the dead people that were alive.
He did.
At that
there was a red truth where he confirmed that the dead people, before he said everyone else, there was a red truth that he confirmed that the people, the victims, were in there. Separate rooms.
Imagine if Gota just accidentally slipped the truth. He's really bad at lying. He's like, man, that was a good fake mystery. Goda!
Maybe they didn't tell Goda. Maybe they didn't tell Goda. He's the only one who doesn't know. Because they know he's bad at lying.
By everyone, they mean the LGBT community. And Goda is clearly the only straight man. So he is not invited.
I'm also pro a version of this where the tiny bombs is the thing that's been foreshadowed. And because it's been foreshadowed for like episodes and episodes, that's how everyone always dies at the end.
Yeah, the fact that
they die by bombs,
the fact that it's a foreshadowed weird device thing means it's the only strange scientific device allowed by Nox. Yep. And that it is then a valid method of murder because they've talked about it.
And yep. I mean, yeah, you could just so blow the place up. It would make sense.
Oh my god.
I love as well, by the way, that the one of the narration talks about one of the forms of evidence for the fact that the six people who were dead weren't actually dead was that they were all in nice, comfortable rooms.
Oh yeah, it says that. Instead of out in the parlor, like in the
they weren't in the boiler room. The weren't outside. They were all in nice air conditioned / heated rooms, and it's like, well, you wouldn't put a body there normally. I'm like, well, you could. It's most of the house is like that.
I guess it's a bit weird that all of them are in nice rooms.
They were all just napping.
That's funny, because they didn't want to be uncomfortable when they were playing dead, apart from Maria, who was really extra about it and decided to be slumped against a wall. Because she was like, if I'm playing dead, I'm doing it right.
I'm committing.
Beatrice told me to do it.
Yeah.
So now that, you know, everyone's dead, Delanor's like, okay, so point out who rescues you.
Yeah.
But turns out all the seals on the rooms are intact.
This is what I don't understand. Because Cornelia and Gertrude are like, yes, we have the red truth that the packing tape seals in the guest house are still intact. But Battler's the game master. He could say that they're not.
But I don't think he wants to.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's his choice at all.
Maybe.
Because if I was written into a corner like this, I would release all of the other people and go, okay, this isn't ideal, but like at least now there's loads of people everywhere and we can reset a bit for an
Hideyoshi
extra.
She calls the other room. He's like, I'm just going to try the phone, call the other room, see if Erica's over there. Erica's not over there. Oh my god, Erica might be dead. Everybody leaves.
And then like, yeah, you've got some people out and about. At least.
I think
yeah.
the thing is that Battler would kind of be admitting defeat again on that, but
but not as much, I feel like, as the Chainlock stuff. I don't know.
Also, Battler's still not that smart, even though he understands Umineko. He's still not very
smart. I just think it's strange that they have all of these moments where Battler's trying to decide what to do with the Chainlock and whether the body's there and all of this, and then this is like something that is framed as not his decision.
Maybe Battler wants to be trapped in a logic error. Maybe he just wants to.
Maybe.
So
he might have a
maybe he just
game.
Wants a nap.
So they have a conversation at this point because Battler gets trapped in this logic error, and Baby Tree Chase is like, oh my god, how can I help him? And Lambda Delta turns to her and is like, I can tell you with certainty that the old Beatrice would know how to fix this. And I was like, aha! Aha! Because Battler's not playing to win the game. He's playing to get Beatrice back.
He wants his baby girl back. He's like, I don't want to win. I want my girl back. I'm not waiting 1,000 years. This whole
you know what? I take it back.
Weird.
I think that's stupid, actually. I think but that's yeah, wrong, it's actually. Battler would never use the phrase baby girl. Oh.
His beloved.
Is this Rowan versus baby girl? The episode is.
I'll change it to beloved, except for Erica. I don't want to call her that.
You have to use the Nanjo approved phrase baby slut.
Baby slut. That is different.
I want my baby slut back.
No.
Anyway, no, I was like, oh, so he's playing to get the Endless Witch Beatrice back. He's paused the game for an endless amount of time so that Beato, like Baby Trice, has 1,000 years to become the witch that we know and love, and she will now be able to release him from the locked room.
Because essentially, basically what happens with all of this is that they say, like, either you admit that you've done a logic error, the game board explodes, it's all gone, mm-hmm. or you get trapped inside your own locked room for eternity until you figure a way out of it. And then he gets put into the purple room that we've all seen, and he's like fiddling with the chain lock and stuff, and he's then like, I'll just trapped walk there out. Alone. Until he works out how to get out of it.
They are very nice. They do give him an out. They leave the wire and the pair of nippers in the bathtub, and they're like, you know, you could cut yourself up into pieces.
Post yourself down the plug hole.
Yeah, put yourself down the plug hole. And then if you leave your wrist tied on some wire, Burncast will be very nice and pull it out.
We'll use it as a back scratcher for Erica, and she seems really cool with that, and I don't like that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, ooh.
The blood of my enemies will make my back feel way better.
That's
fun.
Yeah. That's very fun. Very nice about everything.
There's also an interesting bit with when Lambda's talking to Baby Triche, where she basically says, like, she survived a hell like this. I'm not sure if it's exactly the same kind of thing, but yeah, saying that, like, basically lots of witches have been put into situations like this, like trapped in logic error, kind of eternal isolation pits, basically. And that the only people...
Yeah, it's a Higurashi reference. But then it's not because she doesn't want to confirm it, so...
Yeah, and that the only people who have ever known to get out are Lambda and Burncastle.
Yeah. And that's why
Baby Triche's like, why the fuck would you put people in this position if you know how terrible it is? And they're like, oh, being bored reminds us of being in that place, so we like to do it to other people to make ourselves feel in control. I'm like, wow.
It's a rite of passage.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, not about that at all.
I'm just like, I think there are better ways to feel in control than inflicting the same pain you felt on other people, babes. But
only they had video games.
Yeah, I'm like, play some games, get a hobby.
Play Sims.
Game concerned with abuse cycles replicates abuse cycles with its main antagonists. Who could have guessed?
fair.
like I'm still like, this sucks from them. Like, they suck, but also
it makes sense narratively. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love narrative themes.
Themes. But yeah, the reason that that Lambda gives for old Beato being really good at closed rooms and stuff is that she was like, oh yeah, she was obsessed with detective novels. She read all of them. She knew all about locked rooms and stuff. So she knew all the tricks. And that's why she'd have been able to get out of this and you can't. And this really points out to me that the fact that I'm like, Namjo, also, we have confirmation from two different times now, has also read all detective novels and knows tons about closed rooms and stuff, and he talks to Erica about it twice, and he just never mentions it. He's just like, gonna go have a nap instead.
people are dead. Oh, well, anyway.
And I'm like, so simultaneously, either Namjo just going to have a nap, fantastic, great energy, or Namjo's the killer. Good Namjo culprit theory, because he knows how to set up these locked rooms. But yeah, so I'm assuming that Baby Triche, while Battle is just like fanning around with a chain lock for eternity, is just going to go sit down and read some Agatha Christie.
Yeah, like, read it then, there were none. I love that book.
Several years.
Oh, that's such a good one.
That's kind of what they imply, right?
Yeah. So... I hope she finds something. I clearly haven't read enough detective fiction because I don't know the answers to these. I want to understand all locked room mysteries too.
Earlier in the episode, Battler is like, oh, I've just rehashed locked rooms that Beato's done before. So we can solve some of the locked rooms involving chains that Beato's done in other places.
Which implies, though, that he knows how Beatrice did some of those.
Yeah, I'm assuming they have, like, a Game Master's code book that he's just, like, able to look at the past games now.
Either that, or he's just like, well, I know there's a way to get out of this because Beto did it without a logic error, so I'm just going to set it up exactly the same way and say, whatever Beto did, that's what I've done.
Incredible.
He should have used that logic to get out of this logic error. What's he doing?
I mean, do you think he's in like a Discord server with a bunch of other game masters and they'll just share tips and advice?
They're all like, do not, whatever you do, do not say that the chain lock's still intact. He's like, whoops.
Guys, just pinging all of you. I think I might have accidentally trapped myself in a logic error. You guys said this.
I googled it. I can't find any results. Someone help. It is very purple. My eyes hurt.
But so how it works in like the real world is like Battler's body is still there, but his eyes are like blank, and he's just mumbling about how he can't get out.
Yeah, and it's like they point out that it looks exactly like how Beatrice did when she was soulless, and Battler was trying to like wake her up and stuff. So it's a big role reversal thing. Blah blah blah. It's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's a thematic episode.
Oh, you might say.
Oh yeah.
A lot of themes.
I have to say. So, my rating of Battler as Game Master is really not very high.
Yeah, he doesn't do a great job. He got a new cape, and for what?
I was really hoping that, yeah, this new Battler who knew the truth and had a cool cape and stuff would have some more competence, and he, it's not enough.
No.
Yeah.
But I do say after this, the fact that the Erica getting much more fucked up and being willing to murder people to solve a detective thing has made me like her an awful lot more. Not as a person. Definitely
not
as a
person.
Not a
person.
But as a character.
As
definitely.
A written character in the hit visual novel Umineko, I was like, holy shit.
Oh yeah, whenever I say I love Erica, it's not like I think I condone her actions. I just think she's very fun.
She's a fucked up little guy.
She sure is a fucked up little dude.
And now that she's graduated more from being mean and annoying into, like actual murderer and stuff, I just like her more.
It's a lot less. Because you guys are always like, oh, well, why is the VN trying to make me hate Erica? She hasn't done any murders. And now I'm like,
oh, yeah, six
yeah,
older.
I'm like,
but Beatrice
yeah, okay,
has murdered
she's...
more, but you know.
I think she wins now. A bit.
Not gonna start being like, which murder is worse?
No.
The top five worst murders on Umineko. No. Honorable mention.
Welcome to Watch Mojo's top yes! five worst murders in Umineko.
Honorable mentions. Nanjo. It has not been confirmed if he is a murderer, but he loves detective novels.
He could have saved people.
Oh my god. Don't do this to me, guys.
Incredible.
This is truly incredible. So... yeah, that's kind of our reading. I kind of said, literally this one chapter, I wasn't sure how much we'd kind of have to say about
it's incredible
about this. So do we have any more thoughts?
I want to do culprit talking because I like helping people. Ooh. With mysteries. I had this planned in my head. It's probably not as cool actually, but I'm gonna try.
Well, as long as you don't tell them the answer, go for
it. No, I'm just gonna be like, here's a hint. Okay, so it's like, so the main thing about this episode is the love trial. So why? Yeah. So the question is like, why is it that only one of the three people can find love? How is it that if Shannon finds love, Cannon's like, I cannot? Or Beatrice finds love? Why?
I have been asking this question so much. Because like from a magic perspective, I'm like, whatever, yeah, they've got these nonsense magic reasons. But from a human perspective, I really don't know. Other than the answer is everyone else has to. Other than if the answer is the way for any of the couples to get out of the situation involves killing all of the others, and if they don't do that, they'll be killed because that would end your love quite well. then I don't know. But then everyone dies anyway, supposedly. Yeah. So,
and I think at one point they say, I think at one point they're even like, we don't care if we die, we just want to experience love. So even if they do find love, if they still die in the murder mystery, they don't care. Like, we just want to find love for like 2 minutes and then die.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm really intrigued as to, I'm kind of presuming, I don't know, it was weird that they set up, the last thing we heard from the Love Game storyline was that there was a setup for a second Twilight. Now, presumably, that's not going to happen because Battler's trapped in a logic error, and we so the game Battler. Isn't going to continue, but like...
That does make things
know.
A bit awkward.
But I'm like, but will it continue? I don't know.
What they could do is that it still tear apart the two, so two of the people in the love battle, they could fight, and whoever loses is considered the second Twilight victim. So that could work.
Yeah.
Maybe Battler being stuck in a logic error is the second Twilight.
Maybe.
It could.
Separate the two are close. Beato and Battler.
Who's Beato? Who's Beato on the game board, though? It's gotta be one of them.
All right,
yeah. Okay.
Hear me out. Right. So, Shannon.
Yes.
Is Canon's drag persona.
That would make sense as to why there can only be one of them.
Makes sense why she's got so much padding
going
on and why they're constantly making sex jokes about her.
I'm sorry, we've graduated from Kinzo's drag race to Canon's drag race.
Yeah.
Well, it's unlikely to be the other way round because Shannon has, admittedly, she's not like your stereotypical drag persona, but she's got a lot of the hallmarks of drag persona. And I feel like if like there was a, you could totally have a drag maid cafe. I feel like that's within drag's repertoire.
Okay,
so we should do that.
It's not too far of a step to be like, they're the same person.
I'm going to take your theory and expand on it. The reason that any of the three, only one of the three couples survive is because there's a Shannon in each of them. Because Beatrice is Shannon, yes! Shannon is Shannon, and Canon is Shannon.
Yeah.
That would make sense as to why. Yeah, only one of them, because you can't
see. Oh my god.
Canon has two drag personas.
Yes!
What a king.
Is Michelle Visage?
Oh, no. I don't want her.
Don't ruin RuPaul. Do not ruin Zeppa. If you dare
Canon
say
is
Zeppa
RuPaul.
Is RuPaul, then...
Who's the other person that's always on Drag
Zeppa
Race?
Zeppa is clearly
what's
Carson
his name?
Presley, style
yeah,
superstar.
That guy.
Yeah, him.
The guy. I don't remember his name.
Style superstar Carson Kresley. Come on, guys. All the hilarious
Kresley.
Ross Matthews.
Ross Matthews, I think.
I just have a question. Okay, so Rowan, you're saying Canon is Shannon's drag persona.
Yeah, no, Shannon is Canon's drug possession.
Okay. So
yeah,
because
it's all padding.
Yeah,
so
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
It goes Canon.
I got confused.
Is to like hide the padding. Because it's like, actually, sometimes I do feel more comfortable.
In which case, my theory is, so our theories about how, from our theory episode about how episodes 1 to 4 happened, can both converge because Canon and Shannon become the same person.
Yeah,
I don't
so if it's...
like that this is working.
So, and so the minds.
This is supposed to be what they, a bit.
What yeah. they could do is like, so let's say Canon, Shannon, Beatrice, one person, different personality, mind thing. So like, if Canon's like, I don't want to be a drag queen in this story, he could kill off the Shannon thing and say Shannon is dead and red, and still be on the game board. It could work.
It's like
maybe.
A father hun- son fuck father son and Holy Spirit kind of deal.
Don't say father son fuck. Like... Throw it.
Not in my umi incest in my umi neko.
Sorry, I think
no.
you mean mother daughter holy slave.
Holy slave.
Yes, hunty.
Mother matron crone. No.
Mother matron crone. Sorry, virgin matron crone. Maiden
human soup chair.
Crone.
You might say.
Human soup chair. Shannon's the human, Beato's the soup, Canon's the chair. Easy.
Yes!
And in every scene that Shannon and Canon are talking, it could just be Cannon being like, having like, man, I'm having a bad day. I'm going to talk to myself.
He's practicing his voice.
Cannon's doing like a mirror, talk, like they're doing Drag Race and they're doing their makeup.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like that, but he's just like,
I am furniture.
You know, I grew up in an orphanage where I was taught to think I was a chair.
What if you weren't a chair? You're right, actually.
Me practicing my D&D character voice. Courtney, do I have permission to look up voice actors for Room and Echo?
Cannon and Shannon don't have the same voice actor.
Okay.
Fun fact, Cannon voices someone in Higurashi, so.
I don't like that you've increased the amount of Higurashi content on this fucking podcast. Why did you do this?
I don't like Higurashi. That's my, it's connected.
You've just unfortunately read it.
yeah. No. To be fair, the first story I read a lot back in the day, and I actually do like it. I mean, I like Higurashi, but then I'm also like, I hate Higurashi. Because of what it... Listen, why, Ryukishi, why do you write a story where you're like, it's not good to abuse children, and then go, what if I... You can't do that, Ryukishi! I hate how he does that! It's like the Breaking Bad meme. You can't keep getting away with this! I hate it. Like, I don't know if you're responsible for the gacha game, but you should be like, I don't want...
I've compared it before to folk metal bands, right? So folk metal is a genre, has a massive problem with white supremacy. There are a lot of, like, particularly Nordic, like, black metal, like, massive problem with white supremacy. So, whenever I listen to a new folk metal band or a new Nordic metal band, I will always check for them to say, we are against white supremacy. Because it is not enough in that genre to be, like, neutral. You cannot be neutral. Anime is the same. The history of the anime genre, the fact that he is working within this like substructure of insane noncery means that it doesn't matter whether or not he himself is against it. He needs to be vocally against it because he's working with this substructure, which means that like stuff like the Higurashi Gacha game, stuff like the stuff I pointed out in Umineko, it's damning evidence because it's like Rennie Edda Lodge describes racism as a conveyor belt. You have to actively walk against it, otherwise you'll be swept along with it. And I think this is the same problem here. It's like, you need to be walking against the conveyor belt, otherwise you are just contributing to the culture. Rowan Nance Review Corner once again.
So as an anime fan, I do say I hate that people, that happens a lot in anime. I don't condone it. I'm like, stop it. Please.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. If you're an anime person, particularly if you're a writer or creator, you need to be vocally against it because it's not enough. So I'm proud to say that I don't think I have a friend who is not vocally against this stuff, but I know that there are some people who are damningly silent, Ryukishi being one of them. So you won't get away with it, Ryukishi.
I'm going to email you.
You won't get away with this.
We don't have enough love for the source material, question mark.
It's okay. We're going to get Ryukishi on the pod.
God. I really want to hear his response for my drag takes. Come on.
Ryukishi, why? Why did you do that?
Ryukishi being like, I never thought about Umineko being one big episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Thank you for this, Rowan.
Cannon's Drag Race. May the best killer win.
Because we've talked about this before, about like Vigilia being Kumasawa's drag persona, Ronove being Genji's drag persona. So like, whatever. We've got multiple layers of gender fuckery happening here. I don't care.
And Cannon even has the ginger coat, which is a great coat, by the way.
Right. Yeah. Which, I'm really sorry that this bit has now consumed.
It's canon.
I'm like, you started this bit and like you weren't expecting it to make so much sense, and it just suddenly is. Like,
don't like that.
I also don't like that. It seems like the amount of people on this Rokkenjima is steadily shrinking.
Question: Has Battler ever seen Shannon and Canon in the same room?
Well, that doesn't matter because, you know, in the episode where they're like, oh, we all acknowledge the presence of Kinzo Yushiromiya, that just has to happen with Shannon and Cannon. They all have to just be like, no, we understand that these are separate people, the same
battler,
way that
yeah,
people
battler,
refer to, like,
but a battler's supposed to see it objectively. So all it needs to be is that battler doesn't see it, and then we're good.
Does mean that George is a chaser.
It does mean that what? George is a chaser.
I don't think George is a fan of drag queens. He's gonna hate this revelation.
Yeah. Moving on forwards before I think about that too hard.
Hopefully George will find out one day and go, oh, maybe I shouldn't marry you. And you're like, you're right.
It took
anyway.
This long.
It was over
George's
this.
George's homophobia
but...
overwrites his noncery.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Oh, George. Groge. Somehow we always Groge bring you hours. In here. We'll beat you up.
Groge. You're gonna get the Umin Echo fighting game just to beat up George.
It's a fun game, I'll say that. Batwork ropes men and women in that game, which is, you know, not cool, but at least it's, you know, equal. It is a fun move. I'm like, bro.
Does he actually have a grope move?
Yes, it's called groped... sommelier finger, and I hate it.
What the
wait,
fuck?
Wait, what's it called? Smell your finger?
like sommelier,
like breast
wine
sommelier. Oh my god, that's so fucking bad.
It's a fun game, but
oh god, that's so grim.
Rowan looks actually damaged by this information for the audio listeners.
I'm also damaged by this information.
Oh god,
it's a fun
I'm gonna
game.
Die.
Just don't play Battler. There is Black Battler, so if you want Battler to fight himself, that's the name for Culprit Battler. By the
right,
way,
right? Okay. It's not a racism thing.
It's not Battler in blackface. I want to make this really
yeah,
clear.
Yeah, no. He wears purple.
Honestly, I wouldn't be fucking surprised at this point.
Like Black Goku.
yeah, basically. It's like if Battler was
also,
evil.
Also, if it helps, Ange's moveset involves her summoning Sakutaro to help.
But it's not the plush, it's the furry guy.
It's a furry guy.
I like the plush. I don't like when he goes when he comes in and he's like, yeah, a little fox thing. I'm like, Ryugashi, get this bullshit out of my visual novel, man.
Yeah,
you have had too much fun.
Everything. The little anime boy is.
I love the plush. No, the plush is iconic.
God. Oh, and I think one of Shannon's attacks is that she just drops plates on people because she trips.
Oh no! One of Rose's like her special is in episode 2 when she's shooting the goat. She just shoots. She has a giant gold bar and hits somebody in the head. Like she shoots people with guns.
That's incredible. I think I remember Courtney saying that she has a little Maria that helps her reload.
Yeah, she has a little Maria that helps her reload her gun.
Knowing what I do about my preferred fighting game style, it does mean that Rose is likely to be one of my favorite characters to play because I love a shotgun, so I'm like, oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh, the best range character, I think, is the Chiesa, the blue Chiesa.
Oh yeah, the bunny girls. Can't forget about them.
Yeah, just in case you thought Umin Echo was okay.
Yeah.
We need it.
I can't believe they managed. I can't believe they managed to make the fighting game on its own so terrible.
But it has a banger opening. It's Golden Showtime.
It does.
Slaps. There's even
it's
a story mode.
Music.
Maybe we should write to the people who made it, being like, "Oh, so the sommelier finger. Did you also put the George's special move of?" Pervs on a 10-year-old in there, or
unfortunately not. Ooh. He has like a roundabout kick. I think Gap playable.
Gap is not playable. It's a tragedy.
That's what's wrong with this game.
There's a lot wrong with this game.
No, because if Gap was playable, you know that would be like fan service central. It's bad enough
true.
That they've got Shannon playable.
Cannon's playable. I don't know who's not playable.
That's the same character.
The same person.
Listen, it's like in Smash Brothers when they have like the clone character. They gotta fill up the roster.
No, because Cannon's got a sword and Shannon's got a shield, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
How could you forget about her big bouncy barriers?
You definitely can't have both of those things.
When Beatrice wins, she steps on people. Like she did with Virgilia.
As I said, Dillinor has a special move, which is she throws you to the ground and steps on you.
Oh my god.
She's so small, though. That wouldn't hurt very much.
But she has those shoes, those like platforms.
I don't know what her shoes look like. We don't see those.
We don't. Dillinor does not exist from the waist down.
No, none of the characters exist from the waist down.
Except when you click their profile sprite.
And then you have to look. And then you have to observe.
Also, all of Dillinor's moves are in German, so I know Jess is going to love that.
I do enjoy some German.
We're talking about the fighting game now. Do we have anything else to say about this reading?
I think we learned a lot. Maybe the friends we made along the way were, I don't know, were Erica.
Maybe the real reading were the friends we made along the way. Although I will say Erica does have a cheese attack in the fighting game.
What does she do? I don't remember playing.
She just does she does specific slices, but they're called slice the cheese in two and slice the cheese in four.
Oh my god. I need someone to treat this game like Smash fans treat this game, where they're just like analyzing and saying, you know, Cannon was a waste of a slot. We should have gotten Krause.
Well, thankfully Rosa is in Smash, so yes. There is that. Because they did add...
Oh, yes.
Okay, I have to end this episode.
We need to leave, yeah.
I'm so glad that I can cause Courtney the like even a fraction of the amount of psychic damage that I've taken over the course of the past hour and a bit.
I need to now go back through episodes 1 to 4 and work out a way where someone else just goes and murders all of the fake dead people every time.
Goda.
Nanjo, in checking the bodies, accidentally kills every single one of them.
Nanjo secretly going around killing all of them. Like, Nanjo's the true power gamer.
Killing all of the people who are pretending to be dead.
He's speedrunning this.
Nanjo's the Erica of the question arc.
I remember early on, Courtney was like, Nanjo's not a good person. And, like, you were like, medical malpractice or something. And I'm like, I'm yet to see it. He remains the most based character in this game.
I'll be upset if Nanjo is ruined, but like...
He has a nice mustache, at least. You can't take that.
He's got that going for him. He
His
does
head
have
is
that
a delicious egg. Like,
it is.
What more is there to say?
Well, I have board games to play with my family this afternoon. So I need to go and have my lunch. i.e.
Right, yeah, we'll call it there. I need to get ready to... Oh my god, Rowan. Rowan, please. Please stop eating the chess pieces. That Rowan's the culprit because they keep eating all the people because it's a chessboard.
For my dear listeners, I was editing the podcast and I was talking to my sibling and I was saying like, oh, should I include this? They just said, someone else has to know. That's why that stayed in that episode.
I would have been so upset if you'd taken that out.
Rowan off.
On that note.
This has been a psychologically damaging hour and a bit.
This has been an episode.
Thank you so much for coming on and torturing us.
Next reading will be chapter 16, The Demon Wedding Ceremony, and chapter 17, The Duel of the Lovers. I am going to put a trigger warning here for the demon wedding ceremony.
Interesting, okay.
Around the point they start talking about rings, there is some quite strong sexual assault imagery.
Okay.
If you are uncomfortable about this, you can try and skip through it, but I just a warning, it is strong.
Okay.
It's probably my least favorite bit of the VN, so that's going to be a fun thing to discuss. It's not even super relevant, so yeah. Yikes. Just
why? We might talk about why next episode.
But if you don't want to read it and you don't want us to talk about it, that's fine.
We'll see you on the other side of next week. Just like Gonzo and Rizzo the Rat during that really scary bit of Muppet's Christmas Carol, we will see you after.
Thank you and good night.
Bye, gang.
Bye.
Bye-bye.